Hello and welcome back to the LifeSpring Family Bible. My name is Steve Webb. I'm your host. This is episode number 175, and today we'll be reading 2 Chronicles chapters 5 through 8. Let's begin. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. Solomon also made these items for God's temple: the gold altar, the tables on which the bread of the presence was kept, the pure gold lampstands and their lamps which burned as specified at the entrance to the inner sanctuary, the pure gold flower-shaped ornaments, lamps, and tongs, the pure gold trimming shears, basins, pans, and censers, and the gold door sockets for the inner sanctuary, the most holy place, and for the doors of the main hall of the temple. When Solomon had finished constructing the Lord's temple, he put the holy items that belonged to his father, the silver, gold, and all the other articles, in the treasuries of God's temple. Then Solomon convened Israel's elders, all the elders of the Israelite tribes and families, in Jerusalem, so they could witness the transferal of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from the city of David, that is, Zion. All the men of Israel assembled before the king during the festival in the seventh month. When all Israel's elders had arrived, the Levites lifted the Ark. The priests and Levites carried the Ark, the tent where God appeared to his people, and all the holy items in the tent. Now King Solomon and all the Israelites who had assembled with him went on ahead of the ark and sacrificed more sheep and cattle than could be counted or numbered. The priests brought the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to its assigned place in the inner sanctuary of the temple, in the most holy place, under the wings of the cherubs. The cherubs' wings extended over the place where the ark sat. The cherubs overshadowed the ark and its poles. The poles were so long, the ends extending out from the ark were visible from in front of the inner sanctuary, but they could not be seen from beyond that point. They have remained there to this very day. There was nothing in the ark except the two tablets Moses had placed there in Horeb. It was there that the Lord made an agreement with the Israelites after he brought them out of the land of Egypt. The priests left the holy place. All the priests who participated had consecrated themselves, no matter which division they represented. All the Levites who were musicians, including Asaph, Heman, Jeduthun, and their sons and relatives, wore linen. They played cymbals and stringed instruments as they stood east of the altar. They were accompanied by 120 priests who blew trumpets. The trumpeters and musicians played together, praising and giving thanks to the Lord. Accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments, they loudly praised the Lord, singing, "Certainly He is good. Certainly His loyal love endures." Then a cloud filled the Lord's temple. The priests could not carry out their duties because of the cloud. The Lord's splendor filled God's temple. 2 Chronicles chapter 6. Then Solomon said, "The Lord has said that He lives in thick darkness. O Lord, I have built a lofty temple for You, a place where You can live permanently." Then the king turned around and pronounced a blessing over the whole Israelite assembly as they stood there. He said, "The Lord God of Israel is worthy of praise because He has fulfilled what He promised my father David. He told David, 'Since the day I brought my people out of the land of Egypt, I have not chosen a city from all the tribes of Israel to build a temple in which to live, nor did I choose a man as leader of my people Israel. But now I have chosen Jerusalem as a place to live, and I have chosen David to lead my people Israel.' Now my father David had a strong desire to build a temple to honor the Lord God of Israel. The Lord told my father David, 'It is right for you to have a strong desire to build a temple to honor me, but you will not build a temple. Your very own son will build the temple for my honor.' The Lord has kept the promise He made. I have taken my father David's place, and I have occupied the throne of Israel as the Lord promised. I have built this temple for the honor of the Lord God of Israel, and set up in it a place for the ark containing the covenant the Lord made with the Israelites." He stood before the altar of the Lord in front of the entire assembly of Israel and spread out his hands. Solomon had made a bronze platform and placed it in the middle of the enclosure. It was 7.5 feet long, 7.5 feet wide, and 4.5 feet high. He stood on it and then got down on his knees in front of the entire assembly of Israel. He spread out his hands toward the sky and prayed, "O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like You in heaven or on earth. You maintain covenantal loyalty to Your servants who obey You with sincerity. You have kept Your word to Your servant, my father David. This very day You have fulfilled what You promised. Now, O Lord God of Israel, keep the promise You made to Your servant, my father David, when You said, 'You will never fail to have a successor ruling before Me on the throne of Israel, provided that Your descendants watch their step and obey My law as You have done.' Now, O Lord God of Israel, may the promise you made to your servant David be realized. God does not really live with humankind on the earth. Look, if the sky and the highest heaven cannot contain you, how much less this temple I have built? But respond favorably to your servant's prayer and his request for help, O Lord my God. Answer the desperate prayer your servant is presenting to you. Night and day may you watch over this temple, the place where you promised you would live. May you answer your servant's prayer for this place. Respond to the requests of your servant and your people Israel for this place. Hear from your heavenly dwelling place and respond favorably and forgive. When someone is accused of sinning against his neighbor and the latter pronounces a curse on the alleged offender before your altar in this temple, listen from heaven and make a just decision about your servant's claims. Condemn the guilty party, declare the other innocent, and give both of them what they deserve. If your people Israel are defeated by an enemy because they sinned against you, then if they come back to you, renew their allegiance to you, and pray for your help before you in this temple, then listen from heaven. Forgive the sin of your people Israel and bring them back to the land you gave to them and their ancestors. The time will come when the skies are shut up tightly and no rain falls because your people sinned against you. When they direct their prayers toward this place, renew their allegiance to you, and turn away from their sin because you punish them, then listen from heaven and forgive the sin of your servants, your people Israel. Certainly you will then teach them the right way to live and send rain on your land that you have given your people to possess. The time will come when the land suffers from a famine, a plague, blight, and disease, or a locust invasion, or when their enemy lays siege to the cities of the land, or when some other type of plague or epidemic occurs. When all your people Israel pray and ask for help as they acknowledge their intense pain and spread out their hands toward this temple, then listen from your heavenly dwelling place, forgive their sin, and act favorably toward each one based on your evaluation of their motives. Indeed, you are the only one who can correctly evaluate the motives of all people. Then they will honor you by obeying you throughout their lifetimes as they live on the land you gave to our ancestors. Foreigners who do not belong to your people Israel will come from a distant land because of your great reputation and your ability to accomplish mighty deeds. They will come and direct their prayers toward this temple. Then listen from your heavenly dwelling place and answer all the prayers of the foreigners. Then all the nations of the earth will acknowledge your reputation, obey you like your people Israel do, and recognize that this temple I built belongs to you. When you direct your people to march out and fight against their enemies, and they direct their prayers to you toward this chosen city and this temple I built for your honor, then listen from heaven to their prayers for help and vindicate them. The time will come when your people will sin against you, for there is no one who is sinless, and you will be angry at them and deliver them over to their enemies, who will take them as prisoners to their land, whether far away or close by. When your people come to their senses in the land where they are held prisoner, they will repent and beg for your mercy in the land of their imprisonment, admitting, "We have sinned and gone astray. We have done evil." When they return to you with all their heart and being in the land where they are held prisoner and direct their prayers toward the land you gave to their ancestors, your chosen city, and the temple I built for your honor, then listen from your heavenly dwelling place to their prayers for help. Vindicate them and forgive your sinful people. Now, my God, may you be attentive and responsive to the prayers offered in this place. Now ascend, O Lord God, to your resting place, you and the ark of your strength. May your priests, O Lord God, experience your deliverance. May your loyal followers rejoice in the prosperity you give. O Lord God, do not reject your chosen ones. Remember the faithful promises you made to your servant David. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. When Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the Lord's splendor filled the temple. The priests were unable to enter the Lord's temple because the Lord's splendor filled the Lord's temple. When all the Israelites saw the fire come down and the Lord's splendor over the temple, they got on their knees with their faces downward toward the pavement. They worshiped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, "Certainly he is good. Certainly his loyal love endures." The king and all the people were presenting sacrifices to the Lord. King Solomon sacrificed 22,000 cattle and 120,000 sheep. Then the king and all the people dedicated God's temple. The priests stood in their assigned spots, along with the Levites, who had the musical instruments used for praising the Lord. These were the ones King David made for giving thanks to the Lord, and which were used by David when he offered praise, saying, "Certainly his loyal love endures." Opposite the Levites, the priests were blowing the trumpets while all Israel stood there. Solomon consecrated the middle of the courtyard that is in front of the Lord's temple. He offered burnt sacrifices, grain offerings, and the fat from the peace offerings there because the bronze altar that Solomon had made was too small to hold all these offerings. At that time, Solomon and all Israel with him celebrated a festival for 7 days. This great assembly included people from Lebo Hamath in the north to the Brook of Egypt in the south. On the 8th day, they held an assembly, for they had dedicated the altar for 7 days and celebrated the festival for 7 more days. On the 23rd day of the 7th month, Solomon sent the people home. They left happy and contented because of the good the Lord had done for David, Solomon, and his people Israel. After Solomon finished building the Lord's temple and the royal palace, and accomplished all his plans for the Lord's temple and his royal palace, the Lord appeared to Solomon at night and said to him, "I have answered your prayer and chosen this place to be my temple where sacrifices are to be made. When I close up the sky so that it doesn't rain, or command locusts to devour the land's vegetation, or send a plague among my people, if my people who belong to me humble themselves, pray, seek to please me, and repudiate their sinful practices, then I will respond from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Now I will be attentive and responsive to the prayers offered in this place. Now I have chosen and consecrated this temple by making it my permanent home. I will be constantly present there. You must serve me as your father David did. Do everything I command and obey my rules and regulations. Then I will establish your dynasty, just as I promised your father David. You will not fail to have a successor ruling over Israel. But if you people ever turn away from me, fail to obey the regulations and rules I instructed you to keep, and decide to serve and worship other gods, then I will remove you from my land I have given you. I will abandon this temple I have consecrated with my presence, and I will make you an object of mockery and ridicule among all the nations. As for this temple, which was once majestic, everyone who passes by it will be shocked and say, 'Why did the Lord do this to the land and his people?' Others will then answer, 'Because they abandoned the Lord God of their ancestors, who led them out of Egypt. They embraced other gods whom they worshipped and served. That is why he brought all this disaster down on them.'" 2 Chronicles chapter 8. After 20 years, during which Solomon built the Lord's temple and his royal palace, Solomon rebuilt the cities that Huram had given him and settled Israelites there. Solomon went to Hamath Zobah and seized it. He built up Tadmor in the wilderness and all the storage cities he had built in Hamath. He made Upper Beth Horon and Lower Beth Horon fortified cities with walls and barred gates, and built up Baalath, all the storage cities that belonged to him, and all the cities where chariots and horses were kept. He built whatever he wanted in Jerusalem, Lebanon, and throughout the entire kingdom. Now several non-Israelite peoples were left in the land after the conquest of Joshua, including the Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Their descendants remained in the land. The Israelites were unable to wipe them out. Solomon conscripted them for his work crews, and they continue in that role to this very day. Solomon did not assign Israelites to these work crews. The Israelites served as his soldiers, officers, charioteers, and commanders of his chariot forces. These men worked for Solomon as supervisors. There were a total of 250 of them who were in charge of the people. Solomon moved Pharaoh's daughter up from the city of David to the palace he had built for her. For he said, "My wife must not live in the palace of King David of Israel, for the places where the ark of the Lord has entered are holy." Then Solomon offered burnt sacrifices to the Lord on the altar of the Lord which he had built in front of the temple's porch. He observed the daily requirements for sacrifices that Moses had specified for Sabbaths, new moon festivals, and the 3 annual celebrations, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Temporary Shelters. As his father David had decreed, Solomon appointed the divisions of the priests to do their assigned tasks, the Levitical orders to lead worship and help the priests with their daily tasks, and the divisions of the gatekeepers to serve at their assigned gates. This was what David the man of God had ordered. They did not neglect any detail of the king's orders pertaining to the priests, Levites, and treasuries. All the work ordered by Solomon was completed. From the day the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid until it was finished, the Lord's temple was completed. Then Solomon went to Ezion-Gebar and to Eilat on the coast in the land of Edom. Huram sent him ships and some of his sailors, men who were well acquainted with the sea. They sailed with Solomon's men to Ophir and took from there 450 talents of gold, which they brought back to King Solomon. And so the temple is completed, Solomon's palace is completed, and all the celebrations are over. What's next in the life of Solomon? We'll come back tomorrow and find out. I look forward to seeing you then. My name is Steve Webb. May God bless you richly.